Welcome to the College Prep Genius Radio Show, where we can answer all your questions about getting college for free. Today, your host is Jean Burke, the author of College Prep Genius, The No-Brainer Way to SAT Success, and you can find her at collegeprepgenius.com. And I'm the moderator, Felice Gerwitz. Welcome. Well, hi and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is an episode of College Prep Genius podcast. And today on the line, I have the author of the College Prep Genius course, and that is Jean Burke. Welcome, Jean.
Thanks for having me, Felice.
Well, I'm excited because we are actually doing a part two on transcripts. We had so much information. So if you have not listened to the part one on transcripts, go to collegeprepgenius.com/podcast, and you will find episode 16 there and lots of great handouts there. There's a format for doing a transcript. Of course, you can do anything you want with that, but there's a lot of great information there, plus some links to some things such as commonapp.org and also handouts that Jean has on her website. Well, Jean, we were talking about, more of the formatting of the transcripts, what kind of good information to have on there, and, you know, credit earned and grades and so forth, so on, SAT scores. But there's a lot of confusion. You know, one of the things we did talk about in the other podcast was the weighted GPA scores. Today we're going to tackle some of the differences between courses that homeschool parents may have their children take in high school and some of the confusion over those. So let's start with the first, which is the AP exam. So let's explain what that is, and we'll start there.
Okay. AP courses are advanced placement courses, and they are created by the College Board, and those are the same people who make the SATs and PSATs. Now, what they are college-level courses that are generally given in the junior and senior year. And the reason why that I say generally is because most high schools only allow a junior or senior to take them, but there are exceptions, and I found that in most cases, if, let's say, for example, your child is proficient in a language in middle school, then they can actually enter high school and even in ninth grade take that AP course for that particular language. But they are more difficult. They're more rigorous, and they do tend to add about 5 to 10 hours more of homework per week. So, if you have a child that's pretty maxed out already, you know, you might want to rethink before adding, you know, one of the AP courses. But what happens is your child will take the AP course, and at the end of the year, in May, they will take the AP test. And what happens is the kids are graded on a 1 to 5 on the test, and usually a 3 or above will give your child college credit. Now, certainly if you're going to go to a top tier or more of an Ivy League school, you know, probably 4s and definitely 5s are going to be needed. But 3 will give you college credit to most colleges. And I would definitely say that AP courses are very highly coveted by colleges because it does demonstrate a mastery of coursework. And, you know, for homeschoolers, there's actually 3 ways that they can do an AP course. They can certainly go to the bookstore, buy the course and do it at home and do it on their own and then ultimately take the May test. They can also find some internet courses. Again, they can be pretty pricey, so you definitely want to check around. Or they could do what we did, and that is my kids took 3 different AP courses from a certified AP teacher who lived locally in our area. She used to teach in both public and private schools and absolutely loved the homeschoolers and decided to start teaching out of her home. And so she would have a waiting list every year. All her courses and classes were filled up. So, but as a homeschooler, you know, don't think that it's something that you're left out of just because you don't go to some sort of school to be able to take it. So they're definitely available for everyone.
Right. And also, I didn't even know this is what you were talking about. And as you can tell from you, those of you listening, Jean and I do not have a scripted show here. It's more definitely off the cuff. And, you know, we do plan out what we're talking about, but not specifically. So I didn't even realized that you were going to discuss this to this degree. And I do happen to have a little disclaimer here, commercial, two AP level courses that I produce through Media Angels. One is American Government and the other is American History. And they are pricey courses. They were taught online by my brother-in-law, who is a certified AP level instructor. And they are very vigorous, but the video part of it is very, very good because he uses a visual teaching method. So if you want more, just go to mediaangels.com and look into that. Again, you do have to take the test in order to get that college credit. So those are two that are available. And you know, something I was interested in, especially because a lot of time I looked into some of the online courses and they were twice as expensive as ours. So, you know, that is something you do have to look for, and it's better. Like you said, Jean, if you have somebody locally who will teach a group of homeschoolers, that's going to be your best bet because then everyone can share in the cost of that. So very, very good. Do you sign up for those tests on the college boards like you do with the SAT and ACT courses?
Yes.
Or the
tests? You do. And they're usually held, you know, it depends on, you know, where you take your class at, but they're usually held like in a huge room like a Coliseum or a convention center or you know, sometimes a school, and I've seen them at churches. So it really just depends. But you do definitely want to go to the College Board website to find out the exact date in May. And I will tell you that it's very interesting that the College Board themselves told me that every year 700,000 kids will take an actual AP course and will not take the test. So that kind of blows my mind that they went through all that work and yet they still don't even follow through with the test and get that college credit. So, you know, if you're going to do the work, by all means, take the test.
Right. I have two kids that fall into that 700,000. They just haven't done it yet. So, yeah. Well, it was a very, I will tell you, the final test that he had, and the parents did get the answer key. I looked at it, and it was like, are you kidding me? I couldn't answer anything at the beginning. But I got better as the class went on. But it was 32 pages. And he also had the rubrics of what he was one of the graders of the test. So he has, you know, what they use when they test it, and he explained that in detail in the handout. So it's really a great course. So, yeah, I mean, and do look to see what you get with these courses because that's really important. But, yeah, if they did take that AP level class and they did get the college credit for that, Jean, it's the same thing. You would get like one history credit, for example, and how many college credits do you get for that?
Usually it's you know, again, it depends, but it could be that 3 hours, you know, that you would normally get. And
okay.
It's a great way to skip courses in college. You know, if you have, mm-hmm. you know, if you've taken your history class and you don't want to take history in college and you already have the credit, then you could enter in. You know, there's so many advantages of taking, getting some college credit before you actually go to college, not only skipping what you know, saving money, you know, being able to take on maybe a second degree or even graduating early. So I think entering college with some credits is always a good idea.
And it's funny, I'm on the College Board website and it's going, taking AP World History can lead to a future in, number one, actors. Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Or it could be, you know, world history. It could be, you know, African-American studies, American studies, anthropology, blah, blah, blah. But I just thought that was so funny. That was number one on the list. I guess it's in alphabetical order. So, all right. So that's the AP. We're going to take a really quick break. And when we come back, we're going to discuss CLEP tests, dual enrollment, and more. We'll be right back.
With College Prep Genius, free college can happen to you. That's right. It's never too early to start thinking about test prep to secure your future. Imagine getting free tuition, room and board, free grad school, and more based on your SAT score. College Prep Genius is the key to free. This award-winning, nationally featured program teaches students the logic behind the SAT. You'll learn to answer every question in 30 seconds. Raise your score as much as 600 points and go to the college of your dreams for free. Visit collegeprepgenius.com to know more.
Well, hi and welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I am your host on College Prep Genius podcast with the author of the College Prep Genius course, and that is Jean Burke. And Jean, we have been talking about the different types of courses that students can take and, of course, keep track of this for their transcripts. And the second we're going to talk about today is the CLEP test. So explain the differences between that as well as the AP. AP, they would actually have to take the test, correct? And the CLEP, they would just go take the test, or is there some preparation for that as well?
Well, CLEP test, it stands for College Level Examination Program, and again, they are also made by the College Board. And interesting, I have to tell you the story before I was just thinking about this. You know, when my daughter was, you know, when we were studying for the SAT of my daughter and she was taking her AP courses, she said, "Hey, Mom, did you realize that these strategies for the SAT work on the AP?" And I didn't know. You know, I didn't know a lot back then. Come to find out, you know, what we taught them on the SAT also works on CLEP and subject tests and all that, because they're all made by the same company. So it's kind of nice once you learn test taking strategies.
I love your story.
Isn't that great? Yeah, it is great. So CLEP is also made by the College Board. They are basically a test that corresponds to a one-semester class. The tests are generally about 90 minutes long. And when you go to take the test, you actually have two fees. You have to pay for the test, and then you ultimately have to pay for the testing facility. And so, again, they can be taken at any – unlike the AP, CLEP can be taken at about any age. So, you know, again, advantages of CLEPing, you know, skipping what you know, and, you know, I think for an adult, CLEPing is a great thing because, you know, mm-hmm. you know, you kind of start out going to college and then you kind of went and got married and had kids and homeschooled and life got in the way. And now you might be thinking, hey, I'd love to go back to school. Well, CLEPing is a great way to do that by adding in some, you know, courses that you can get some credit for. So, again,
right. Very good.
Being very careful, though, CLEPing is another one of the things that, you know, again, often may not transfer. So you definitely, before you spend a lot of time and a lot of money doing them, you definitely want to make sure, you know, are these courses going to transfer? I've met too many people over the years who have come up to me and said, you know, we had 50 CLEP courses, CLEP credits, and none of them transferred. And so it's really disheartening for the family. So you definitely want to do your homework first and make sure.
Wonderful. And that's important. I had a friend in college who CLEPed out of 2 years of college credit. So, you know, basically when she came to college, she almost had like an AA degree. You know, she had a lot of her main courses out of the way, and of all majors, she was an art major. So I would tease her and say, you know, you've got all this head knowledge and you're going to be an artist. But she taught school for many years, and she loved art, and she was very, very talented. So again, another way to save money, right? Even though the tests are expensive, it's a lot cheaper than paying for those college credits and books.
Definitely.
All right. Well, let's talk about dual enrollment, something my children are both doing right now. We're very new in the dual enrollment stage, so one of the things, well, first of all, explain it, and then I'll say what I did wrong. I'll share that with you.
Well, dual enrollment, or sometimes it's called dual credit, or sometimes early college, I mean, there's different states have different names for it, is basically when your child will take high school credit and college simultaneously and get credit at the same time. I think one of the things about dual credit, and they're generally held at the junior college, is that the credits may or may not transfer. And I think that a lot of people don't realize that. A lot of people think, oh, well, if at a college, it's going to transfer. But there's actually a couple of things that you can do. You know, sometimes the colleges will use a dual credit class for more of an honors class or maybe more internal placement for their school. But you can actually go to a couple of websites, collegetransfer.net or transfer.org, and that will let you know if that college credit will transfer. Again, not spending a lot of money or a lot of time doing something that ultimately isn't going to help you in the long run. But again, these are generally taken by juniors and seniors. You pretty much fill out an application at the junior college. And, you know, the cost can vary. You know, sometimes I know here when my kids were in high school, if you were a homeschooler, dual credit was completely free. Cost usually is very nominal, and sometimes there's some tuition assistance. But you have to take a test to do it. Now, you know, I get people telling me all the time, well, you know, I don't need to take the SAT because I'm going to go to junior college. Well, they're actually wrong about that. Whether you do dual credit or you just decide to go to junior college first, you still have to take an entrance exam. They usually accept the SAT, the ACT, or even what they call an ACCUPLACER or a placement test, which, by the way, are both made by the College Board. So it's basically a very similar test to the SAT. So you're not getting away or getting out of taking that test, even though you're going to go to junior college.
Right. And so I'll tell you a little bit about our experience. The first thing I did wrong was we did this the first time ever, and I have a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old. The 17-year-old is a senior. The 15-year-old is a senior on paper, but he really is a 10th grader. And this child has told me not to rush his life, that he wants to enjoy being a kid. So he will not graduate early. He'll just be accumulating credits. Hopefully get his AA degree is the plan in 3 years, which he can very easily do with this dual enrollment. The thing I did incorrectly was a lot of times parents ease children into this by taking one class. I sign them up for three. So that may have been a bit much, you know, to start out with. The second thing is I didn't bring their SAT scores. When we signed up, I had an appointment. We went, and what ended up happening was because of Gene and taking the College Prep Genius course, they were very familiar with the College Board website and were able to log in. And so they had computers there. They logged in, and they were able to print out their scores. Well, their scores were high enough that they did not have to take those placement tests. So they did take the SAT scores, and we didn't have to stay, which they had planned to stay and take the test. I just didn't realize that you could use that. You know, it was a little bit, my son, of course, couldn't remember his password, and we had to reset it on his email, and that took a little bit of time. But the people at the admissions were very, very nice about it. And, you know, they weren't upset that, you know, no, you can go. You don't need to take it. This is fine. We can use this. So that was really nice to know. Yeah, I was really, really happy. And then here they do call it dual enrollment, and one course I know will only count if they continue to go to that class. I believe it counts if they get an AA degree. I'm not even sure, but it's more of a career exploration class and how to do college, which I thought was really interesting. It's called Cornerstone. But my daughter really wanted to take it, even if it doesn't count, because it does do a lot of career exploration, and she wanted to do that course. So, again, you know, look at that. The books were very expensive. If we were public school kids, it would be completely free. But because we homeschool, we do have to pay for our books. But we do not have to pay for the courses. So, again, check into that in your local area. And it is, you know, something to consider. I've heard a term, Jean, that I'm not really familiar with, and one of my friends told me about it, and she called it super senior. Can you explain what that is?
Super senior is almost the same thing as like taking a gap year, and that is where basically you take an extra year to finish high school. A lot of homeschool families do it. I think it's great. You know, it gives them an opportunity to maybe do something else, or maybe they want to go on a mission trip or mission field or whatever. You just kind of notate that on your transcript. You don't want to make it look like your child failed a year. That's why they're taking an extra year. But they took this year because they really wanted to explore other things. And so there's nothing wrong with that. It's not frowned upon at all. So I think there's nothing wrong with that. And I do want to say something, too. When you're doing some early college credit, whether it's through AP, whether it's through dual, or even through CLEP, you know, if your goal ultimately is to get scholarships, you know, if you get too many college credits before you enter college, your student is considered a transfer student and not an incoming freshman, and that can nullify scholarships. So I always tell people, you know, there's nothing wrong with getting a two-year AA degree and then going on to a four-year college, but just make note that the scholarships are not as, prominent as so much as they are on an incoming freshman. So it's good to weigh those things out ahead of time, because families who don't know that, and they may get too many credits and then they find that out and they're, you know, definitely upset. So it's good to weigh out which way we want to go. Do we want to go to the four-year college and get a full scholarship, you know, then get some credits? You know, every college is different. So, you know, one college might say 15 credits is too many. One might say 30 is too many. I don't know. You check with them. Or you may say, well, we want to do the two-year route, you know, get the AA degree and then go on and finish out the degree. So every family is different. Every student is different. Every dynamic of a family's financial situation is different. So it's something to definitely think about, you know, before you ultimately make the decision.
Right. I know we need a flow chart, Jean. There's too many decisions to make. You know, it really is. Like, that was another thing I didn't know. I just learned today with all of our listeners that, that's important for scholarship, because my son is looking, and my daughter as well, at playing sports. So it's something to consider. Very, very important information here. Anything else that you wanted to discuss by way of, differences in classes? And because I know a lot of times people take, they think the AP and the CLEP are the same thing, and they're not.
No, they're not. I think it's a good idea that if possible, all high schoolers would take some sort of college credit class, even if they took one, because I think a lot of times there are kids who are in college who shouldn't be there. You know, they think, oh, well, that's the thing you do. You just go to college. And yes, college is a great thing. Higher education is wonderful, but it really isn't for everyone. And instead of getting into taking out those loans like a lot of people do, and they're, you know, two-thirds of kids drop out of college, I think it's a good idea to see if your child can handle the workload before they ever enter college. And you do put a lot of money out there if that's the route that you choose. Sometimes it's a maturity thing. Sometimes kids need to be out of high school a year or so and work a little bit and just grow up a little bit and then maybe go to college. But I think what happens is a lot of times people don't realize, they just kind of said, well, college is for everybody, and they send their kids out there, and sometimes it's very disastrous. So kind of get an idea first of seeing, well, maybe, is my child ready or not? You know, even if you take your SATs, you don't have to go to college right after high school. I mean, the college would hold your score for several years. So you get out of high school a couple of years and forget some basic geometry and algebra, don't worry about it. You've already got your SAT score. So maybe doing a little test run, you know, for your kids, just to kind of see if they are college bound right away, probably a good idea.
Very good. No, very good advice. Because, like I said, you know, I had the differences in both of my children. One going after 3 days, you know, when is our break? When are we going to be done? And, you know, I'm going to look into some career opportunities that don't require college, to the other one going, you know, maybe I'm going to go into the medical field, when he had shunned that before. He's really, because it's one of the things that course is doing. It's really exploring some different different ideas. And also the kids, Carol Topp, who also has a podcast, Dollars and Cents, on this network, she wrote a college or a career exploration book that's excellent. And the kids were working through that this summer, and that really got their minds going. And I'll put a link in for that as well. Well, Jean, you have some awesome stuff on your website. It's going to be getting completely redesigned. Jean has an extensive FAQ place on her website that answers a lot of questions. You've got a really cool whiteboard. Tell us about that, one of the features on the new redesigned website.
The whiteboard is really fun. It's called 30 Seconds to Free College, and it just basically gives you kind of an overview of test prep. I think there's so much anxiety And so many times, you know, students will say, you know, I just bomb these tests and I'm not smart, or the opposite. I'll get a valedictorian coming to my class wondering, why in the world did I bomb the SAT? I'm the number one student in school. But it's really fun because it just gives you basically an overview of how these really are logic tests. They're not about your IQ. They're not about how smart you are. They really are about the recurring patterns that are used on the test every single time and how you can answer every question in 30 seconds or less. So it's just a fun little, just about a minute little video that kind of gives you a good overview of why anybody can ace these tests. And, you know, it's the only fair way a college can compare students because, you know, a 4.0 at one school is not the same as another. Whether you're public school, private school, or homeschool, everyone learns something completely different. So these tests have to be test something like your critical thinking and your reasoning skills. And so it's really fun. Click on it, and if you have any questions, let me know.
Wonderful, wonderful. And she does also have a contact forum. I know a lot of you contact me about questions about her program, and I am a walking, talking sales force for Teen because of the success my kids have had taking it. And also I own the network, so I love having this show on here. But she does have a great contact form, so you can contact her and her staff, and they'll be happy to help you with your questions about the course material, as well as getting Jean to an area near you to come and do a live presentation. Well, Jean, thank you so much. I appreciate the time and all of the great information, adding to the knowledge that we have now and being able to come up with these really great transcripts for our kids. So thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, please.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, thanks so much for listening to the College Prep Genius Radio Show. You can find more episodes at collegeprepgenius.com/podcast or listen on iTunes on your favorite podcast app, on your phone, on your computer, or on the go. Remember, visit collegeprepgenius.com for more information, and we'll see you soon.